everyone. Welcome to continued anti-media radio. I am your host, Jake Anderson, and it's been one hell of a week, one hell of a month for me, actually, coming off the tail end of a Kickstarter campaign. So I got to see firsthand how that whole crowdfunding thing works. And it went well. We reached our target. So I'm going to be making a movie. Going to be making a movie, everyone. About a weird story. Weird old story, creepy story, possibly an unsolved murder. I've been talking about it so much, I'm sick of it. Tonight, we are... DB is going to join me here in a minute, and we are just going to just let loose a little bit, because it's fun to do that. However, next week, we're going to have a couple guests joining us. We're going to have a good friend of the show, L. Deeds, will be joining us, along with a retired firefighter, John A. Taylor, who is going to give us some updates on child trafficking, child abuse issues, which, you know, these are things that are in the news a lot right now, and a lot of new research has been coming out, so that should be a really interesting show. And got DB with us now. DB, I'm pretty excited about that show.
Yeah, I mean, and we may delve into some 9/11. I think what we'll do possibly is let L. Deeds kind of lead in with he goes by JT, so we'll have L. Deeds lead in with JT, and she can kind of direct the way we want to go, and we'll kind of, you know, flesh it out, I guess, beforehand, and kind of come up with an outline, because we don't want to waste his time or any of our listeners either, because yeah, it should be a show. We'll have to pack a lot in an hour or however long he's able to talk. And yeah, he may bring on another very fascinating guest, Detective Rothstein. He's a retired NYPD, and really the NYPD and FDNY, you know, you're talking about the paramount, complete top of their respective organizations for this country. I mean, the cream of the crop. They get paid the most. It's the toughest academy. Believe it or not, they're literally the size of an army. I'm talking about NYPD. I mean, I think it's something like 30 or 40,000 cops, and it's needed there, and they do a really ridiculously good job, because if you've done any research on 9/11, you know that it was a failure by the perpetrators, that they didn't do a good job. They botched it, and too many people within know what happened, and it didn't come out clean. And ultimately, Jake, I think you've delved into this yourself. It didn't take out the financial center. It gave us a hiccup. It brought down some airlines. It probably led directly to the reverberations leading to the bailout and what we're still going through, which is honestly the new normal of a recession. And God, I hope some of these policies that Trump's ramming through actually do affect the economy positively, because we need it bad. But it's going to be a fascinating show, man. I don't even know what we can talk about this week that'll do much justice for what should be coming next week, but we can try.
That's funny. When you sent me the message about John Taylor, the first, when you said he had done research on the 9/11 building collapse issues, the first thing I asked you was, is he a 9/11 truther? And here, sure enough, in the notes, it says that he is, you know, his research contacts include architects and engineers for 9/11 truth, as well as firefighters for 9/11 truth, and he's a member of both of those. So probably a pretty good bet that he's a 9/11 truther.
Yeah, I mean, and a real truther, because apparently, according to L, he was called in on that day because, you know, he'd been, everybody was called in, and, you know, through whatever, you know, dumb luck or whatever, he just didn't, he wasn't caught in that, supposedly, I guess, that first wave that they went in, and, you know, 343, I guess, of them didn't make it out. And, you know, that was a huge hit on the department. And I'm sure he's probably got people that he knew that were involved in that. So we can get a new take. This is a new age where he couldn't tell his story to a CNN or anybody like that. So this becomes maybe the first step towards possibly a larger audience, or somebody out there will hear him, and he can go on to tell more, because we need to know more truth, more real truth. People on the inside that are wanting to tell what they know and kind of wondering how to go about it. Now that we see guys like, I hate to bring them up, but like Snowden and like Chelsea Manning and like all these other whistleblowers, countless names that, you know, we could do a whole show on whistleblowers, Jake, and the amount of people still rotting in federal prisons or black sites or whoever knows for our sake, really, because we're still here, we're still breathing. And there was enough good people that have sacrificed it all to keep you and me alive. And the truth is 99% of the people out there have no idea the sacrifices that unknown people have made.
Absolutely. For every big whistleblower like a Snowden or a Chelsea Manning, there's got to be thousands of people whose name will never be known, who died horrible deaths, who are, you know, people right now as we speak are probably out there being tortured for nothing more than trying to reveal truth. And it's my biggest critique with government. And I don't pretend to be a straight anarchist, because I'm a realist. I consider myself an anarcho-syndicalist. But the reality of the fact of the matter is, there's no way humans can live a just existence on this planet when we're ruled by governments who do fucked up shit and then lie about it. It just can't happen. And one of the questions, my theme question of the night is, what will this world be like in 100 years? Now, I know it's pretty speculative, but if you want to message me, you can find me on Skype at Jake of the Foliage. That's JAKEOFFOLIAGE. Or email me at jakeanderson40@gmail.com. And let me know what your opinion is, because I'm a big sci-fi guy, but at the end of the day, 100 years are going to pass and it won't be sci-fi anymore. So there actually will be a day 100 years from now. We probably won't be here, but hey, maybe they'll be looking back through the archives and they'll find this tape. They'll probably have some incredible rapid way of rapidly analyzing data and looking for interesting patterns and whatnot. And maybe they'll see this show and maybe they'll go, hey, look, they were trying to guess what'll happen 100 years from now. I have a site that I love that I brought up, and it's called it's actually called thefuturetimeline.net. It's an incredible site, but we're going to talk about some current things, and then as usual, me and DB are going to get into some crazy shit. But again, if you want to send me an opinion, you can send me a Jake of the Foliage on Skype or just jakeanderson40@gmail.com. I would love to get some emails from you guys, because I'm pretty interested in what they, and you know, look, it's crazy. I mean, it's a crazy question. What things, I mean, there's, you know, 100 years from now, what technology were we missing? Like, what was life like 100 years from now? If you had introduced something like the internet, you wouldn't even have had the language to talk about it. And since technology is growing so rapidly, it's going to be the same way on this. But we'll get back to that. I want to get, DB, I want to get your opinion on something. So earlier this week, Alex Jones did a post on InfoWars where he basically retracted his story on pizza. He retracted everything he had said about Alafante, James That's his last name, right? Elefante?
Oliphantus, but yeah.
Elefantes, yeah. It retracted, basically retracted the entire freaking Pizzagate story that he had been... I mean, it... I couldn't even believe it when I read it. And I don't know, is there some journalistic ethos to it? Possibly. Is there fear of lawsuit? Possibly. Is there something bigger? Because I was just dumbfounded at why it was happening. And I want to get your opinion on what you think it means that the king of Pizzagate, basically, or the guy who, the most mainstream, the most high profile conspiracist who had been peddling this theory, just publicly withdrew it. What do you think that means?
God, man, it's totally up in the air. I mean, I have no clue at all. Yeah. I'm so flabbergasted at this point with whatever's going on. I mean, the main thing for me that I guess this does is, I hate to say it, but it kind of outs him as a controlled opposition figure, in my opinion.
Well, I think that's the most likely conspiracy theory is that...
Right. Well, a conspiracy theory about a conspiracy theorist, so...
Right. If you're trying to control a narrative, you go... You know, it's like that site Godlike Productions that I spend way too much.
Well, that's just a forum. So forums are take it as you will. It's not a narrative being pitched.
It's a forum, but they plant things there.
Sure.
They plant controlled oppo there, and I'm on that site way too much. I spend way too many hours of my day on Godlike forums. It's
well,
ridiculous.
It's like 4chan, and it's like there's all these different forums. There's dark web forums. These are just basically clearinghouses for ideas, for a lot of links that you probably wish you'd never went down, because then you can't stop kind of researching weird stuff. And there's a lot of information out there, man. So here's the thing here's the thing with Alex Jones. Alex Jones was like a William Cooper disciple, and you know, everybody knows Cooper was kind of, I don't know. A lot of people think he was betrayed. I shouldn't say everybody knows, but a lot of people think he was betrayed by AJ. And AJ essentially kind of, I guess he inherited the empire. The groundwork was already laid with William Cooper, and AJ was essentially the next heir to this line of thinking that we needed the Second Amendment, that Texas was a scion of freedom, and we wanted to go back to a republic.
Yeah, all this fucking stupid right-wing libertarian bullshit.
Yeah, and it's things that do indeed give an advantage to Israel and Russia. So a lot of people always say, well, he's working for one or the other or both, or they're intertwined at this point, because if you go to Israel, you know that half the people there are Russian. So Russia essentially is like using Israel as a satellite state, as we are. And if you think about it that way, I mean, we're on the verge of carving up the Middle East together, because we're about to just let Syria partition, and Assad's going to keep his half, and we're going to keep the other, or give it to Turkey, or let Kurdistan carve a part of it up and give the other half to Turkey. Who knows what's going on? But the plan is working, and the plan was always just to make sure that that oil supply was just completely solidified, and now it is. It's ours, and Russia has a little slice. China can't get any of it. And that was always the big fish, and that's always been the big scare. The Red Scare has always been the Chinese scare, not the Russian one. So the Cold War was just so we could both build up our militaries for the what we thought would be an inevitable outreach of China, because there's so many people. I mean, we've talked about it on so many shows, how you can't have that many people, and especially that many guys that want wives. It's going to be 2 billion people soon. They can barely feed the 1.4 or 5 they have, so... I mean, things are just gonna be set in motion out of necessity.
So according to the futuretimeline.net, all right, I'm gonna say one paragraph and I'm gonna backtrack. And this is tying into what you're just talking about, sort of, in terms of population. So by 2060, the world's population had begun to level off and plateau. This was partly a result of declining fertility rates, aided by improvements in education and birth control, but also from significant numbers of deaths caused by deteriorating environmental conditions. Entire nations were now being devastated by the effects of climate change. Despite advances in technology, the fundamental problem remained that humanity was consuming too much, too fast, beyond what the Earth could sustainably provide. Desperate attempts were made to improve carbon capture and geoengineering methods, but the sheer magnitude of this crisis would persist for decades to come. Now, here's my biggest problem with the anti-global carbon tax movement is this is like the single... Look, I don't like taxes. I mean, I don't want to be a supporter of taxes. But this anti-carbon tax narrative is being appropriated by climate change deniers and titans of industry who are doing everything they can to put off industry reform because they think it's slowing us down. And we have this week Trump repealing, you know, the environmental restrictions. God damn it, I can't find the article now. But, you know, basically, he's making it a lot easier for people to pollute and not have to regulate. And look, like, I know the word regulation is like a sin on the anti-media, and I don't want to support regulations, but at the same time, come on, it's just fucking obvious we're destroying the planet with carbon emissions.
But Jake, it's
through animal agriculture, through coal, through industry, we've got to do something, and go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, we are going to, but there's going to be this golden parachute window in his first term, because if they're going to roll out Hillary out of the grave, he's going to win the second one. And then if we're going to...
Are you kidding me? You think they're going to run Hillary again?
Yeah, of course they are. They're already doing it, man. They just pulled her out. Out of her crypt for the professional women's conference, and she was the keynote speaker, and I'm sure she was paid $250 again.
You know, it's just because her and Obama are still the leaders of the party.
Obama's nowhere to be found, and he's not going to be coming back. He won't be back in the U.S. unless Trump is ousted somehow. It's just not going to happen.
All right. And you think that? I don't even want to go into why you think that. Let's move on. Yeah. Move on.
But here's the thing. Let's just move on, man, because it's just more conjecture. This is what I want to just say about what's going on with the drastic cutting of the EPA funding, which went hand in hand with the United Nations, and the signing of the Keystone XL pipeline, and the ramming through of the Dakota Access Pipeline, along with many other pipelines. And really what they're doing is there's a place in Canada called the tar sands area, which is sitting on top of an ocean. It's like another Saudi Arabia of shale oil, and we can get it. Canada doesn't have the technology, so we have to go up there and get it, and then we have to pipe it down, and we have to refine it, because again, we're the maven of the oil industry. We own all the technology and all the patents, and we're the only people that can do this, can refine this dirty ass oil. So this oil gets refined, it's still so dirty we still can't burn it under EPA. So they got rid of they defunded the EPA, but they didn't, you know, they're not going to start polluting the US, Jake. I mean, they're not. It's not part of the plan. Where that's going is, of course, China. It's going to be burned over there, and that's going to just exacerbate their problems. But
it doesn't matter where it's burned. It's happening on the earth.
I understand that, but we feel like we're going to be in this insulated shield through our military might. And like Nick says a million times, borders don't stop migration. Like, people just come when one part of the world starts failing because their environment's destroyed. It's not like they're just going to sit there and just be like, oh, I guess I'll just die. I mean, it's going to create water wars and arable land wars. And that's why I say China's going to spread beyond its borders due to necessity. and we're creating that carbon time bomb for them. Like, we're making it even worse, because that's where all this oil is going.
Well, here's an interesting headline on the antimedia.org. Maybe you can comment on this. The title of the article is "War Between U.S. and China Brewing in the South China Sea."
Yeah, and it's over Taiwan. Because here, Taiwan is the National Republic of China that was ousted right after the end of World War II, because World War II ended just open hostilities. There was still fighting on the mainland of China until like 50, and then it spilled onto the Korean Peninsula. And that was all, it was just Japan. Like, we didn't really ever invade or beat Japan. All we did was stop having an open war with them. We still had all this covert crap that was going on, and we had then the Korean War, which was just World War 2.5 or whatever you want to call it. So it's a major problem when those things, they go on and nobody knew. Nobody knows. Nobody has any context. So nobody really understands why Taiwan's such a massive problem for China. Like, Taiwan existing means that the communist government is still – there's a portion of people that consider it illegitimate, and they always will. And now there's growing Christianity in China. When China's been trying to crush religion forever, they can't. So, I mean, they're cracking at the seams. There's big-time problems for their government. And what's Donald doing? Prodding him over Taiwan. Because all our high-tech military hardware is made in Taiwan. We cannot function. If China were to invade Taiwan, we would... I don't even know what it would do. It would put us back by years for our manufacturing of the stuff we need for our high-tech military. So we're in a really perilous spot. We kind of have to kiss China's butt, but at the same time, by doing that, it makes us poorer every year. So
one of the – that article, by the way, is by James Holbrooks, really good writer for the site. James Holbrooks, and it opens, adding fuel to an already highly combustible situation in Southeast Asia. Reuters reported Tuesday that China has largely completed major construction of military infrastructure on artificial islands it has built in the South China Sea, and they can now deploy combat planes and other military hardware there at any time. So basically, it's just create, further intensifying this, basically what more and more is seeming like a new Cold War, but between us and China, and of course, made even more complex by Trump's somewhat ambiguous references to Taiwan.
And but you know, what's horrifying though, Jake, and I don't want to make anyone more paranoid than we already all are, but there's a huge difference between Russia and China when it comes to a potential war. Russia really, really does not want to fight us because they don't want to lose a whole bunch of their population. China could care less.
Well, that's I don't know.
It would help them. It really, honestly, truly would help them.
The Chinese government, they just made it an educational requirement that people graduating college there now have to be able to swim like a kilometer or something.
Well, they're preparing them for a tsunami attack or some crap.
Yeah, but everyone's like, tripped out by it because they're saying that, their students are either, not in good enough physical shape to suddenly be swimming. But that was passed this week. That's a new requirement in China to graduate a university there. You have to be able to swim a certain distance.
They have interior cities that are total ghost cities. And the biggest susceptibility China has is like a huge portion of their population lives within a danger of either an asteroid hitting or a tsunami, a huge one, or from an earth change, which everybody's a lot of scientists are saying if the poles were to flip, it would
right.
It would take the water, like take like swishing or swirling a glass, you know. So if
there's actually pretty good evidence that a pole shift is imminent in the next couple decades.
And from the geological evidence of the violence of such events, they're not like over the course of years or months. They're over the course of like a couple days.
Yeah, I mean, the reports I've read about it is that it wouldn't be good, but it would just kind of mess up the grid for a little while. I mean, it's not, you know, no one's going to be falling off the surface of the earth.
Well, but the coasts become susceptible to being hit with tsunamis, and then
right.
Because so many people live by the coast worldwide, then you suffer a lot of casualties because people just cannot, like, could you imagine if you were in SoCal and they're like, everybody has 24 hours to get the hell out of here.
Oh, my God.
And then you know how many people would be like, well, I'm going to put in this last day of work, get a night's sleep, start packing my shit. You know what I mean? Like,
we're going to take this 110 to Sepulveda and then get on the 710 real quick and then try and jump out of town real quick.
Yeah, I'm going to drive right into Death Valley. It'll be good there.
If we exit Sepulveda off the 710, I think we can beat this. I'm just blatantly trying to rip off the Californians from SNL. Okay, so another thing that happened this week was the stupid-ass House of Representatives, all Republican, only Republicans voted for this, but basically they eviscerated privacy protections on ISPs. So basically, according to the Electronic Frontier Foundation, they stripped the shit out of these FCC regulations, and so now basically ISPs can sell your information to anyone they want. They can sell your browsing history to any corporation or government that wants to buy it. They can hijack your searches and share them with third parties. They can monitor all your traffic. And they do that by injecting their own malware-filled ads into the websites you visit. They can stuff undetectable, undeletable tracking cookies into all of your non-encrypted traffic. And they can pre-install software on phones that will monitor all traffic before it gets encrypted. So, you know, basically, our government voted to sell out all of your privacy online. And this is the last thing we need. This stuff is getting so ridiculous. The internet is like the last bastion of freedom right now.
Yeah.
And to think that our government is just making it so much easier for corporations to predate and sell out. You know, this is why no one trusts
Peer to peer, Jake.
What's that?
It's just bringing peer to peer. Like good old Cory Doctorow's been harping on for years. The technology is going to turn tail, flip around, and give the people that have those skills. Unfortunately, at this point in my life, that would be like learning a foreign language from Asia. It'd be extremely tough to learn to program. I tried it. It was the hardest class I ever took in my life, and I barely passed it. So
I can do I can do HTML and whatnot, but I can't, you know, I can't do anything like Java or,
no.
But, it's like, this is bullshit. Like you shouldn't have to,
there's gotta be competitors. Like YouTube just demonetized all these people that are really creative. They've got to pull their money together and make a competitor. Make everything pay. I mean, the fact we're not paying to use Skype is stupid, Jake. I don't care if I pay $1.99 a month for Skype for the non-ad, non-spying on me version. I mean, I don't mind paying for a Facebook and paying for a YouTube if it's reasonable stuff. I mean, a couple bucks a month for these subscriptions, because you're going to have millions of users and all you're really doing is aggregating content. And people will have ads on their own page, but it'll be tactful. It's not going to be the crap going on right now. I mean, right now is just a complete waste. The internet is a waste right now. And it should be a land of opportunity for everybody. I mean, we're talking about people right now, like me and you speaking, that, you know, we could be getting paid for anything creative. Everybody doing everything creative should be getting, being able to monetize it on their own, you know?
Right. And, you know, a lot of that is through ad, you know, adware and whatnot. And so, you know, I mean, I don't foresee a utopia necessarily. I mean, right now, the primary form of monetization on the internet is ad-based, just like the television, just like television was.
Which is totally fine, but I mean, it's just gotten ridiculous.
Well, just, it's just sickening that they're making it so easy for people's, you know, lives to be cannibalized like this, through our search and through our, you know, through what you search for online. You know, it's just, it's further creating this cycle of consumption. I guess that's what I'm trying to get at right now is, you know, we're not, it doesn't feel like we're reaching towards a better civilization or a better society. It feels like, you know, I've been thinking a lot about, you know, kind of anarcho-capitalist ideas, because I'm always trying to understand it. I'm not an ANCAP, but I'm always trying to figure out, like, well, what would life be like? I mean, what, like, really, just try and imagine it. No government, just the free market. Honestly, it's incomprehensible to me. I cannot understand how that would not lead to chaos.
It's incredibly cruel to the weak and the disenfranchised. It really would be. You'd have roving bands of big men. Honestly, large dudes would just gang together and seriously just submit anyone that didn't do what they wanted.
Yeah,
it would be that simple. That'd be the top of the food chain.
You read their, you know, I was trying to read A Spontaneous Order, which is, you know, kind of someone's manifesto of ANCAP ideas. And, like in an alternate universe, I can see that working. But in our current landscape, if there were not, like, of course, it would be the food chain. Of course, there'd be people out there. There'd be roving, like you said, roving hordes of people.
It would all be guys. Because the competition drive is there. The only way an ANCAP society may function would be in a matriarchy, possibly. If we were living in an Amazonia where the women could physically kick the crap out of the men, then you could flip it around. They don't have the same drive to compete so much. They like to cooperate a lot. I mean, yeah, they do compete, but it's not the same. They're not beating
you. Yeah, but ANCAP is not about cooperative. It's not about collectivism.
But it's the only way it could function.
I can't see a just world that doesn't involve collectivism. It's incomprehensible to me.
And it has to be enforced through violence. Now, there's different kinds of violence. There is benevolent violence. If somebody is attacking someone weaker than them without provocation and you do nothing and you're able to stop that, even if it meant killing the attacker, it's your moral duty to do so. And that's how the interwoven fabric of society is maintained. If the weakest people physically are made marginalized, their other talents now become negligible. And that's the stupidest crap ever. That would mean Einstein would have just gotten beaten to shit and killed before he could even, like, make his first patent or have his first idea. It's the dumbest crap ever. Like, we need to have a laissez-faire world. Live and let live. If you hurt other people and it was unjustified, expect the same to happen. And that's the ultimate golden rule right there.
Well, I mean, I think they provide for that with the non-aggression principle, but I mean...
But it's always violated by some idiot or asshole who's stronger than everyone else around, and they run things until somebody stronger comes along, and you hope that stronger person's benevolent.
Right, and is that not what government is? I mean, is that not what... I mean, I just can't...
Yes, it's bad people killing worse people.
Yeah, that's what it is. So it's just like, I mean, it's a beautiful vision, but I don't see a world in which people are not forming groups together in order to rule over others. I don't
Getting
see.
there though, Jake. We're getting there because
Well, yeah.
singularity will help and new tech's gonna help because all this stuff about scarcity, everybody's struggling making money to eat. Nobody's even enjoying any of the world's luxuries. All those simple things that we used to take for granted are now like being pushed up to this marginalized middle class, and the rich are just living at a level unheard of. And I don't know how long that will last and can last and even should last. And whatever it takes to right the ship's going to have to be what happens. And I think everybody knows that that's coming. So how to avoid this in the future so that we don't self-destruct? Like we have to
Yeah.
share things, you know what I mean? There's got to be income, and there's got to be maximums for wealth. There truly does. Once
Yeah.
you're over $1 billion in net worth, you need to be taxed at 99%.
I agree, man. I
What the
agree.
hell are you doing with all that money? Screw that.
No,
Make the world a better place.
the levels of inequality are just simply, it's ridiculous. It's just gotten to the point where you have, a fairly small group of people that own 50% of the world's resources. There's just no way in which that can sustain itself, and it's not sustaining itself. And I don't understand what they think is, I mean, do they really think this is going to go on like this indefinitely before there's like a fucking billion person revolution of violent,
Well, I mean, I don't think people get that India is just about right ready to be there. If India hadn't been at a point where it'd been subjugated by the British monarchy and been disarmed so long and pacified, they would have already taken cleaned house. But with Modi now putting in this guy, this crazy prime minister guy, I mean, tensions are just going to boil along these ethnic and religious lines and even caste lines. And Modi saying they're going to go cashless really just kills anybody that's not making a corporate income, because I don't know how you can expect people that had been existing without being taxed to now be taxed at this 18 or 20% flat rate. Can you imagine telling the poorest people in your country, we're about to take a fifth of everything you earn, there's nothing you can do about it? You know what I mean? And why has there not been a revolt? Well, I mean, it's simmering, man, but it's on the way. There's a billion man revolt right there.
Yeah, I guess you're right. That is. So let's see. What happens in the 2070s? In the 2070s, you saw major growth in the use of fusion power. Accelerated space development also marked this time with expansion of the lunar colonies and their automated mining operations. By now, a full-scale environmental catastrophe was unfolding on Earth, with sea levels forcing the large-scale evacuation of many cities. So that's what we have to look forward to in the 70s. I don't know. I
Yeah.
don't. You think we'll have lunar colonies by the 70s?
Yes.
Probably. Yeah. That's
I don't
like.
know about lunar though, because a lunar colony doesn't make much sense, but an outpost permanently would. But I mean, I swear there's been a lot of things I've researched that have said when we went up there, one, in 69 we did go, but that what you saw on TV was actually indeed on a staged set,
Yeah.
not because we didn't go, but because they were not going to show us these massive cities and these massive
Yeah.
humanoids that they met up there. And they were told, don't ever come back here. We're mining this shit. Get the hell out of here.
Uh-oh.
All right.
I
So we never
wasn't
went back.
expecting to hear this.
Yeah. So that was one. They were supposedly like the big humanoids, like from that freaking alien movie, whatever that was, Prometheus.
Prometheus, yeah.
Anyway, they supposedly had like mile long motherships and crap, and they were mining the hell out of the moon, and I don't know, whatever. That's just one thing I heard. That's just one thing I've heard. And supposedly China's gonna send up in 5 years a manned mission, 2022, I think. So we'll see what they say. But no, but yeah, dude, I don't know. I think here's the thing. I think they're building up, or they already have a breakaway somewhere. Maybe
Yeah.
it's Maybe it's Europa. I mean, somewhere there's some kind of water source. Maybe it is Mars. Maybe it's just they have it like that other movie with Matt Damon, Elysium or whatever. Yeah. Yeah, maybe
Well,
they have that.
They have a NASA project to go to Europa and send a probe down to try and get under the ice and see if there's a, you know, see if there's a chance for life there.
Plus, there's lots of planets in the Goldilocks zones, and if they found a black hole and found a way to not be obliterated going through it and knew it went somewhere close to one of these planets, maybe they've started something. Who knows? I know they're way ahead. I know they're probably a couple hundred years ahead of what we think, so they're probably in that early Star Trek stage.
The breakaway civilization, it's a pretty interesting... Dolan writes about that in one of his books, and every year I go to this Contact in the Desert thing, and I'm going there again this year with my pops, and that's a theory that is talked about a lot, the breakaway civilization, and the idea that, you know, the government has technology that's, you know, so much more advanced than anything we're seeing in the private sphere, and it makes sense. Like, look at how much more technologically advanced we are than 50 years ago, but look how little evidence you see of it.
Funneled somewhere.
Yeah, it's being doled out. It's being doled out very, very selectively, it seems to me.
I think there's multi-prongs of where it's going. I mean, obviously, a lot of it's going underground because the Earth's got caverns and pockets that are more or less permanent and can be made very, very permanent. And that's, you know, the hollow Earth theory is not, it's not like a Jules Verne thing. It's that there's natural pockets underneath the Earth and you can solidify them and build bases and crap and trains. And those things are well documented. And you can look up the dumb system underneath the US, and China's got a pretty similar one, and so does Russia. And I'm sure Europe's got other, probably even Europe's got World War II crap they still have underneath their cities. So there's a lot of that going on. And then there's, you know, whatever you think about Corey Good and whatever the other guy's name is, I can't remember his name now, about the secret space program. It would make sense to me that.
Oh, Dark Mission?
Yeah.
Hoagland?
Not Hoagland, but the other guy, the super smart David Wilcock.
Yeah.
Well, those guys have been saying forever that we had the dark, you know, a dark project that was more or less like a solar system type of fleet that was kind of like an MJ-12 or maybe like post-50s type of high technology where who knows what they found. They were able to incorporate it into all kinds of crazy tech, and they're able to get out into, you know, our own solar system to patrol it, to, if they needed to, they could attack an Earth, you know, position, and there's probably nothing that position could do about it. I've read those kind of things too. I mean, we just know we're way ahead because, like you've said, things have been pretty stagnant for a while. And one of those graphs that I think Nick or the anti-media shared today was like showing how the stupidest stuff's getting the cheapest now, like TVs and like phones and just totally.
Yeah, 'cause they just want to keep us dumb, you know, keep us consuming and dumb. That's like that's the ideal state of the human population for governments, is that they're stupid and they buy shit with a monetary system that we're profiting off of.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. And then the college education's like just skyrocketed. Homes, like houses, have skyrocketed. Everybody's renting. I mean, everybody has degrees with massive debts. They can't buy a house, so they rent for life, so that, and then they can't retire. You know, you can't retire if you don't buy a house traditionally, because you can't stockpile the money you need to pay for your care when you get older. So you work until you, I don't know, fall down and go to a really awful nursing home. I mean, is that the future that's we're going to have?
Yeah, with so many boomers getting older, I mean, it's a pretty grim situation.
I mean, technology is going to help. And like, what we were talking about last time with Japan's robotic revolution that's under the radar now because they don't want to scare people. Because in Japan, if you have a blue collar job, your blue collar job's either you're a manager or you're a technician of the robot. Like, right. That's it. You're not a person doing any actual physical manual labor anymore because that's inefficient.
Well, there's going to be like a good 20 years or so where your job is like making sure the robot doesn't fuck up and kill someone. Like that'll be a job.
You have to fix it too.
And make sure the robot doesn't kill anyone, you know, like, but how long will that be last? Like, I mean, realistically, like
20 years.
Future timeline says by the 2090s, it became clear that Homo sapiens were no longer the dominant species on the planet. Much of the day-to-day running of the world affairs was now handled exclusively by the ultra-fast, ultra-intelligent machines, robots, and virtual entities. They're saying by the 2090s. Now, interestingly, at a conference last week, Ray Kurzweil, the famous transhumanist singularitarian, updated his prediction of when the singularity was going to happen and stunned me, at least, probably others, by saying that he thinks the singularity was going to happen by 2029. Like, 12 years from now. It's just crazy. I mean, he's got to be changing his definition of what singularity means at that point, because artificial intelligence is not going to be. I can't believe he made it 2029. I mean, 2035, 2040, maybe 2029, 12 years. You think that non-human? I guess his definition of singularity is different than others. He just thinks that basically it's when non-biological intelligence supersedes human intelligence. So that's a pretty, that's doable. But is that really a singularity at that point, just when there's advanced computation, when you know how to use a quantum computer? That's not AIs, like, actually ruling over humans.
That's just how long it's going to take the cyber brain they've been growing since 2012 to hit maturity, Jake. Then it's 17, yeah. So then it's an adult.
Yeah, well, I mean, Kurzweil has been working with Google, and
The only way it's been learning is through the internet. So it's going to take it 18 years of experience to flesh into a being, and then if we're dumb enough to give it a body that is immortal, it'll probably take over. But hopefully, we'll give it a mortal body, so it has to live a human life like Data.
Well, but, I mean, wouldn't have been
able.
It's
very important that the first AI and the first singularity in 12 years has to have human limitations and understand what we are to enable us to grow ourselves, because we physiologically and spiritually have to grow. We can't just depend on technology, because then we're in a control grid.
Well, see, I agree that that's important, but I think it's much more likely that humans are going to end up upgrading.
Some will.
They're going to upgrade. We're going to become more robots than robots become human.
I'm going to go biochemical route, though, Jake, and try to use the top-of-the-line pharmaceuticals to make myself a Superman.
Yeah, well, you can try. There's going to be biotechnology is going to be a big part of it. You'll try and
metal.
Extend your telomeres and
don't put metal in your body. I'm telling you, it's not supposed to be there. We have a bioelectric system for a reason.
Edit your genes. I mean, that alone right there would be a huge thing. I mean, if we were able to edit our gene sequencing, I mean,
is it? Jake, is a perfect human better than a perfect machine? Answer me that.
Is a perfect human better? I mean, no.
Why?
Because I don't know. I just disagree with the language of the question, because better is a very subjective.
For instance, like
value, it's a value you're placing on sentience, and I don't necessarily think humans are at the top of the food chain when it comes to sentience, I think. We are a particular module of sentience. We have a particular substrate, biological substrate we're on, in which we're exploring consciousness, but I don't think that's necessarily the only or even necessarily the best model for it, because we're so bogged down by biology and biochemistry that we're not able to really fully realize our own consciousness.
I agree, but I mean, God, there's tons of pop culture to relate to this, but if we're not at not even close to our peak potential, from any scope or frame, I mean, we're smaller and weaker and more fragile in the body than we could be. I mean, quite honestly, we probably could be twice our size and be twice the mass and twice the musculature and be just fine in Earth's gravitational field. We could be a lot bigger. We're midgets. I mean, we're weak in the body. Like, a lot of animals can just beat the hell out of us or kill us, like nothing. So there you go. We're weak in the body. And then if we don't even have that central part of our brain, that biochemical sphere of electromagnetic like resonance that goes between both of your hemispheres of your brain, but that's calcified from fluoride in the water and toxins in the air, and you'd never develop it anyway. It has to be pushed into development. That's why I like the biochemical route, Jake. Like, if you use ayahuasca, it changes your brain. If you smoke marijuana, it changes your brain. Like, the chemistry, like the formation of pathways change. Like, if you use LSD, that changes your brain, or mushrooms.
I agree, and I think that we can have a much better human, but at the end of the day, we're still going to be an animal, and
Well,
I don't
that's
necessarily
okay.
think animal consciousness is necessarily the best format for consciousness. We're an entity that does not need to focus so much time on primordial maintenance. Might be a more ideal way for processing conscious thought and particularly intelligence. If you're talking about wanting to get off this earth and wanting to explore the star system or the galaxy or other galaxies, you're talking about we need levels of computation and intelligence so vastly superior to where we're at now that if we're going to get off of this planet and actually start exploring the stars, we need a new modem for our consciousness, and I don't necessarily think it's going to be in an animal's body.
Well, I mean, but to push it too far is just opening yourself up. That's the only problem. Like, do you really trust the controllers at this point? They're not going to allow anybody but the lead of the elite into this program anyway. So, something else, some other alternative, some secondary column of development has to be available as an alternative, because this breakaway is real and it's going to leave people in the dust and,
Yeah, I mean,
just.
I prefer humans master themselves and spiritually evolve and create agorist communities and actually start exploring our connection with nature first. But I think that time has passed. I don't think we're gonna return to some kind of nativist utopia. I think it's over, and I think that the age of the rational human is gone, and I really only think that. I think that we have the only way up for humans right now is through technology. I wish I didn't think that, but I do. I can't, we're so screwed up
But it inevitably is going to lead
sociologically.
to destruction on a massive level, because too few people that are already, of course, horrible people are going to be given, access to terrible, terrible weapons, and why would they not use them?
They will, and there's going to be a hard takeoff when it comes to artificial intelligence and all that stuff. But eventually, cooler minds will prevail, because when humans are no longer in control, and when this substrate of biochemistry is what's causing this greed and this lust and this want of conquest, and when that's not the MO anymore, it's going to change everything. When cooler minds prevail, it's not just going to be about conquest and everything that it's about now. And the problem with humans right now is that, I mean, look at us. We're just competing. Everything's a competition with someone else to get an extra dollar or to, you know, have more conquests in every other way. And that's not, you know, that may be the best way forward in terms of competition, but in terms of collectivist evolution, I think it's going to take a complete destruction of the human ego.
Oh man, that's a driving force. I mean, that's what made somebody invent fire at some point, and that's
Right, I know.
what's
And it's difficult to imagine human evolution without the ego, but I truly think that the ego must be dismantled because right now the human ego is a force for evil.
Well, it could be. That's the biggest thing about the Earth shell and t or the timid shell inherit the Earth is. If all these psychopaths kill each other off, I mean, yeah, they take a huge chunk out, but who's left are this agorist, high tech community, J aka John Titor, which we can do a whole half of a show on him. But I mean, if there is an exchange of high tech weaponry, these people are gonna kill each other, really. I mean, even if they're in these underground bases, they really are. But Jake, I know we're coming up on the end here. We
Yeah.
should let people know what's going on for our next show one more time.
Yeah. Go pitch it. Go
Go.
for it.
All right, so we're gonna have he goes by JT. So his name is John Taylor. He was involved in a lot of the 9/11, well, things surrounding the day of 9/11. He knows a lot about child trafficking. Child trafficking is just gonna keep building and building with this Anthony Weiner laptop thing. And I'd love to hear if perhaps Detective Rothstein can come on and he knows anything about that laptop. That laptop may end up being the key to a really bad thing at first, which could be the dismemberment and mantling of the government as we know it, but it could lead to a freedom as our republic is restored and these House of Rep guys and these horrible senators are relieved of duty, maybe.
All right. Gonna be a good one next Thursday, so tune in for that. DB, as always, it's been fun playing little mind
Thanks,
checking
Jake.
with you. Yeah,
And
that was
Jake, congrats on your Elisa Lam, man.
thank you. Thank you. All right, everybody. I'ma let them know, no, through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.
The Anti-Media Radio, your host Nick Burnaby here on